get to worship. That's the one we get to worship and praise and honor. Wow, here we are again. Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. And I tell you, our dress rehearsals is getting better and better every year. The foyer is phenomenal. And that's how it should be. Every year we should try to step it up a notch. We did it in the past for other things. We always try to beat that next year. And it should be that much more for his feast days, his holidays. Should never slack. Should always, always try to turn it up a notch. And I tell you, Yom Teruah, there's so much to talk about. So much. As I was going through it again today, I mean, there's two more idioms I put in here that I didn't even mention last night. And then let me get started, because I'm getting ahead of myself. So here we are, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. Teruah, and this is the Strong's, 8643. It's an acclamation of joy or a battle cry, especially clangor of trumpets, blow an alarm, rejoicing, shouting. So that acclamation caught my eye. So I said, well, let me see what the definition of acclamation is. An acclamation is a loud and enthusiastic approval. Listen, typically to welcome or honor someone or something. Listen, on Yom Teruah, on one Yom Teruah, we gonna honor someone. And what a day that's gonna be, that we give him the honor. Not something, he's not a thing. It's that someone we gonna honor, and I can't wait. I can't wait for that Yom Teruah when we give him with enthusiastic excitement, excitement, loud, loud. That shofar, shout it. What are we commanded to do? Number one, keep it holy as a regular Shabbat. Do no silver work or the things associated with the seven-day Sabbath. Keep it as its time and season. I'm going to read to you in Daniel, in Daniel, I think it's 7:25. I'm going to read in a little while. Talking about the anti-Messiah, how he's going to try to twist so many things. He wants to try to move this appointed time. And who knows that when God appoints a time, it can't be moved. Keep it at its time and season on the first day of the seventh month. Number three, have a holy convocation. This is a calling of the assembly or community of like-minded believers. I'm so glad we're all on the same page up in here tonight. It makes it that much easier to worship him and to welcome his set-apart spirit in this place. When we're all like-minded, when we're all believing in the same thing. To assemble together and celebrate this memorial of blowing trumpets. If no one is able to convocate, then call together your own family or travel to where another group of believers are assembling and keeping this day holy. Number four, make a memorial of blowing trumpets. The Hebrew word for memorial is zikron, which means a reminder or a remembrance. The act of blowing trumpets is to be a reminder or a calling to remembrance. What are we to remember? We are instructed to remember the different sounds of the trumpets. And listen, they knew that back then. They knew there was different sounds for different things. There was sounds to, just the elders would show up. There were sounds that the whole congregation would show up. It was a sound for war, for battle. It was different blowing of that trumpet, and they knew it. We are instructed to remember the different sounds of the trumpets and shofar so that we will know what to do when the commander of the heavenly host gives his marching instructions. That's why we're rehearsing. We're preparing ourselves for that day, that when he comes and he blows and he's giving us our marching instructions. Hallelujah. Leviticus 23:1-2. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe saying, speak to the children of Israel. Remember, that's us. When we see that or hear that, ears up. Say to them, the appointed times of Yah, which you are to proclaim as set apart gatherings. My appointed times are these. They're his appointed times. to proclaim. This is the Strong's number, 7121. The idea of accosting a person met to call out to address by name. And here we are, the Fall Feast, the Feast of Trumpets. It represents repentance. Feast of Yom Kippur represents redemption. And the Feast of Tabernacles represents rejoicing. Idioms for the Feast of Yom Teruah. And you see the first two, I didn't mention those last night. But also, I'm going to give definition to every last one of these. The time of Jacob's trouble is the idiom used for Yom Teruah. The day of the awakening blast. Yom Hadin, day of judgment, the opening of the books, opening of the gates. Yom HaKishi, the hidden day. HaKiddushin, Nisun, wedding of the Messiah. And HaMelech, the coronation of the king. The times of Jacob's trouble. And this was one of the things that, as I was putting this in, it was like, you know, you want to try to put in everything that you come to mind, but you can't. Because listen, we did this, the time of Jacob's trouble. We did a whole study. It's 10, 12 weeks long. If I would put in every slide of the time of, remember? Talking about the revelation, preparing for the end times. What was the little title underneath it? The time of Jacob's trouble. This is looked at by most scholars as the announcement of great tribulation. And we've seen that in that Revelation series. Great tribulation, which is also referred to as Jacob's trouble. And this is nothing we should fear. As a believer, we should not fear this. He said we're going to go through it, but in the end, he delivers us. He delivers us. The day of the awakening blast, the day that Messiah will descend from heaven and the sky will roll back like a scroll. The dead in Messiah will rise first, and then those that remain alive will be caught up with him in the air. Yom HaDin, the day of judgment, when those that are called up will be judged by the blood of the Lamb. This is the first resurrection, the one that we want to be part of, because the second death will have no power over us. The second death will have no power over us. The opening of the books. It is a traditional teaching that at Yom Teruah, the books of remembrance before Yah are open. And this is the judgment process that takes place during the 10 days of awe. Once Yom Kippur closes, then the gates and the books are closed until the following year. The opening of the gates. This is traditionally taught that at the sound of the shofar on Yom Teruah, that the gates of heaven are open. Certainly, if the elect are gathered to judgment in the Messiah, then a gate of sorts would have to be open. So during the 10 days of awe, the period between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, this judgment period is occurring as the gates are open. Yom HaKishi, the hidden day. It is called this because it is the only feast day that falls on the first of the month, the first day of the seventh month, before the calculated Hebrew calendar, known as Hillel's calendar, was put into effect after the destruction of the temple in 70 CE. The months of the year were determined by the cycles of the moon. The first day was called a Rosh Kodesh, or the head of the month. You could not announce the first day of the month until the new moon was spotted, because each month started with the new moon, and the middle of the month, the 15th, was a full moon. Since Yom Teruah fell on a Rosh Kodesh, it was known as the hidden day or the hidden feast, as you had to be watching. Again, that's what we're doing. We're watching in order to know when it was. Some believe that it was the idiom that Yeshua was referring to when he stated that no man knows the day or the hour of his coming. Kedushin Nisuin, the wedding ceremony. It is believed that the Messiah will return to gather his bride on this day. In the traditional Jewish wedding, the husband betroths his wife and gives her a ketubah of marriage contract. He then leaves and builds a house for her. What he said? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He then leaves and builds a house for her. She doesn't know when he will return, so she is instructed to always. What are we doing during this time? We are instructed to always be on alert, watching, watching for his return. That's what we're doing for Yom Teruah. We're always on the alert. That's what we're doing. We blow that ram's horn. Be on the alert, watching for his return. When the father of the bridegroom agrees, wow, when that day has come, when the father of the bridegroom agrees that the house is finished, listen, the whole month of Teshuvah, when that house is finished, then he tells his son to go get his bride. This typically takes place in the middle of the night, and the bridegroom is hurled in the town with a shofar and a shout. Great shame, notice, great shame falls on the bride if she is unaware and her lamp is not full of oil to meet her bridegroom. Shame on us. Shame on us. Why? Because he's warning us. He don't throw things on us without telling us, giving us time to prepare ourselves. And what it says, shame of us, shame on us. Just like those five wise and the five foolish, shame on them that they wasn't prepared. And don't say it can't happen, because it'll happen. When you say it can't happen to us, that's when it'll happen to us. So be on the alert. Then they go out to their home together inside the bride chamber, and the marriage is consummated. Hamelech, the coronation of the king, Messiah, as he is crowned and honored as the King and Savior of the world. Crowned and honored as the King and Savior of the world. Genesis 1, verse 14. And Elohim said, let the lights come to be in the expanse of the heavens, to separate the day from the night, and let them be. Let what be? The lights. For signs and appointed times and for days and for years. And I have those highlighted, underlined for a reason. Signs. 226. In the sense of appearing a signal, literally or figuratively, as a flag. Listen. I'm going to talk to us boaters. We got a lot of boat captains in here. You're going on the water, and you see a barge or a boat that's got a blue and white flag. What does that mean? Divers. It's a warning. It's letting you know that there's a diver in the water right there. What is this signs for? In sense of appearing a signal, literally or figuratively, as a flag. He's letting us know. That don't mean some of us, some chivos, as you call them, they want to ride right close by the boys, like, well, they want to see what's going on right there. No, the flag's up for a reason. There's somebody in the water. Preaching good, it's hot. Sweating. As a flag. So he's warning them. He's warning them. That's what the signs are for. That's what he's telling us. And for seasons. I read it was the appointed time. Some translations got and for seasons. That's the moed. Properly an appointment, a fixed time or season. Yas, fixed time or season. Can't be moved. Religion tries to. It tries to, but you can't. You can't move it. Specifically a festival, feast, Yom Teruah. And for days and for years, the Hebrew calendar is the annual calendar used in Judaism. It is based upon both the lunar cycle, which defines the months, and the solar cycle, which defines the years. This is contrast to the Gregorian, the one we use. Think about that. Calendar, which is based solely upon the solar cycle. Notice what the Jews are using, the Israelites. They use both of them. The lunar cycle, the Muslim use the lunar cycle. What we use, the Gregorian. The solar. What does Yah tell us? What is he saying? Use both of them. Signs, season, days, and years. We have to use both of them. Notice the division. One, Muslims use this one, Christians use this one. Enemy slick. Slick. Daniel 7:25. And it speaks words, talking about the anti-Messiah, against the Most High. And it wears out the set apart ones. You know how it wears us out? When we're not doing the Bible things, Bible ways, when we're not in the Word. like we should be, like we're not being good Bereans. He's going to wear us out of the Most High and intends to change what? The appointed times. That's what he's out to do. Change the appointed times and law and his instructions. And they are given into his hand. Listen, it's coming. For a time, a times, and a half time. For 3.5 years, it's going to be given. You think he's not going to deceive some people? It's going to be very deceptive. Not to us. Why? Because we're practicing. We're rehearsing. We will not be deceived. In a point 2165, an appointed occasion time. Amos 3:3. Would two walk together without having met? Another translation says, can two walk together without being agreed? You ever went riding? Well, of course we go riding. We ride all the time, vehicle, boat, whatever. You got two people, once they turn this way, once they turn that way. Your boat lost. How can you agree? What you're agreeing on? It turns out to what? A fight, an argument, a yelling match. I told you not to go that way. No, I told you not to go that way. How can two? Listen, you can't walk with Elohim if you don't walk according to his word. You can't walk. That's what Amos 3 is saying. We can't walk with Elohim if you don't walk according to his word. Impossible. Can't agree. Can't agree. We must agree with him as to the sinfulness of sin, the need of cleansing, so hopelessness of our old nature. So only shall we walk with Elohim. The soul that is one with him is on the alert. The soul that is one with him is on the alert. When you're one with him, you're on the alert. Watch ye now. Watch ye know not the hour. Watch, because ye know not the hour. Leviticus 23:23-25. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing the trumpets and holy convocation. In the Strong's 21:42, this is what memorial, to mark, so as to be recognized. Examples to remember, to mention, be mindful of it, make to be remembered a memento. Listen, there's things that we mark on our calendars. Years ahead of time. We mark it so we can recognize it. We remember, I got this going on. I got that coming up. We should do the same thing for these feast days. Should be planned a year ahead of time. And we get them. The dates are out a year ahead for us. But what we do, we get a little, I'll do it later. We don't have that same enthusiastic that we have for other things. And we should. If Yahweh has no remembrance, listen to this statement. If Yahweh has no remembrance of a person or a nation, they have been rejected by him. That's not the spot we want to be. We don't want to hear on that judgment day, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I know you not. Because if Yahweh has no remembrance of a person or a nation, we're in a bind. And listen what Luke 13:27, that's referring to that statement. But he shall say, I say to you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all ye workers of unrighteousness. All ye workers of unrighteousness. But look what Numbers, when you follow his Torah, when you follow his word, when you humble yourself and you repent, and when, Numbers 10:9, and when you go into battle, because listen, we're going into battle. You can best believe it. The scripture says it. We're going into battle in your land against the enemy with distress that distresses you. Then you shall shout with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yah your Elohim, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Hallelujah. Listen, that's a teruah moment. In case y'all didn't know, that's a teruah moment. Hallelujah. Spiritual and prophetic significance. Let's look at some. Shouting, trumpet, alarm, all means of making a loud noise for various purposes. And we can do some shouting. We did some shouting. If you ever been to a ball game, I've been to many, and it gets loud. And you shout, you do. I did my fair share of them. My son played ball his whole little league to high school, and I did a lot of shouting, a lot. I'm not even going to go into detail because some parents was like, who's that man? Later on, that's what they tell you when you form like a travel ball team or something, and you finally get some kids from up the road and put them together with the down the road kid, and they're like, man, I remember when you was coaching, we didn't like you. You was loud, parents told me. I was like, wow. Talk about humble. Man, you're like, whew, sorry. So Yom Teruah contains not only shouting of his people, but trumpets as well. What it contains? Shouting for his people. We also saw such activity at Jericho. Listen, we didn't shout last night when we ended the service. But I'm telling y'all, we're going to shout tonight before we leave. So y'all get ready. When the trumpets blow, we're going to key it up and we're going to shout. Because shouting for what? Shouting for victory. Shouting because we've been healed. We've been delivered. We've been set free. That's shouting. We got a reason to shout. You think, oh, I got to get a reason. I just named three of them for us. I just named three. So get your shout on in a little while. We broke it. All right, so Yom Teruah contains not only shouting of his people, but trumpets as well. We also saw such activity at Jericho. Jericho contained a moment of shouting by the people, and all they did was shout. They blew the ram horn and shout. We're going to read in Joshua 6, the whole chapter. This was prefaced by a sound of a ram's horn or a trumpet. Joshua 6, 1 through 27. Joshua 6, 1 through 27. And Jericho was shut up tight, boarded up, because of the presence of the sons of Yisrael. None going out and none coming in. Notice, they was camped out in the front of this massive wall. Trump wall ain't got nothing, had nothing on this. They rode chariots on top of this wall. Think about that. Massive. It wasn't no small wall. It was huge. They boarded up tight. Something wrong. I tell you, them children of Israel, them people of Elohim, something's up with them. When they doing Bible things and they carrying around shofars, man, let's board this place up tight. And Yah said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho and its sovereign, mighty brave men, into your hand. Mighty brave men into your hand. And you shall go around the city, all the men of battle going around the city once. Do this for 6 days. Now listen, could they done it twice? Will Yah move if they done it twice? No, he wouldn't. He would not. No different from us. When he tells us do something once, he means once. When he says shh, he means shh. No. He means be quiet. And let seven priests bear seven shofars of your Balaam, that's ram's horns, before the ark, and on the seventh day go around the city seven times. Look, he gives specific details. You have to do it like this. In order for it to work, in order for me to move on your behalf, do it like this and just watch. Do it like this and watch. I dare you. He dares us. If we just listen, he's saying, just listen and watch me move. But no, if he ain't moving fast enough, what we do? We want to try to do it like we know better. Huh? Like we know better than Yah. That's when we get ourselves in trouble. Go around the city seven times while the priests blow the shofar. And it shall be, when they make a long blast with the horn of the yobel, the ram's horn, and when you hear the voice of the shofar, that all the people shout. Listen, when y'all hear these ram horns at the end of this service, y'all shout. Shout for whatever. I gave you three, but shout for, you might have a lost one. You might have a son, a daughter, a granddaughter, grandson, a nephew, a husband, a wife that's lost. Listen, shout. Shout for that. That all the people shout with a great sound, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Can you imagine getting this word from the Lord? You looking at this wall, and you, I mean, Joshua, I don't think he doubted. Because if he doubted, I don't think he would have probably did it. I think he knew he had that much faith that Yah was going to do what he said he was going to do. Shall fall down flat. And listen, that wall might be big in your eyes tonight. It might be huge to you. It's going to fall down flat. Yah says it. It's going to fall down flat. And the people shall go up every man straight before him. And Yehoshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven shofar of Yobelim before the Ark of Yah. Notice Joshua had to do something. Yah gave him the word. What he had to be transparent. He had to go tell them. Listen, this is how we're going to do this. This is the word that I got from Yah himself. And he said to the people, pass over and go around the city, and let him who is armed pass over before the Ark of Yah. And it came to be when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven shofar of the ram horn before Yah passed over and blew the shofar, and the Ark of the Covenant of Yah went after them. And the armed men went before the priests who blew the shofar, and the rear guard came after the ark, going on and blowing with the shofar. But Yehoshua had commanded the people, saying, notice, he's giving them an appointed time right here. He says, do not make a sound or cause your voice to be heard, nor let any word come out of your mouth. Listen, some of us need to hear that sometime. Don't let no word come out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. He gave him an appointed time right here. He's telling them, don't say nothing until the day I tell y'all to shout. And the Ark of Yah went around the city, going around once, and they came into the camp and stayed in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Covenant, and seven priests bearing seven shofar of the Yobelim before the Ark of Yah were walking, going on, and they blew with the shofar, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the Ark of Yah, going on and blowing with the shofar. And the second day, they went around the city once and returned to the camp. So what he told them, 6 days, we're going around it once. And the people looked, the ones that's boarded up tight, they looking. Okay, only one time the first day, then boom, nothing. Not even saying nothing, not just blowing the shofar, let them know we're going around once. Second day, the same thing. They did that for 6 days. 6 days, remember to keep that in mind. And the enemy is just watching them. And it came to be on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day. Some of us need to rise early sometimes in the morning, early before the sun comes up, and begin to shout. Begin to pray for something. Begin to call out families and loved ones' name. We ought to try. Rise up early in the morning and went around the city seven times in this way. Now, if you're on the other side of the wall and you see him for 6 days, they did this one thing, and you counting, you see him go around one already, and they didn't stop. They're going around twice already, they didn't stop. All right, so now you're getting worried. Listen, because they was already scared of him. They come, the sons of Elohim. We're going to board this place up. Okay, so here we go, seven times around. So, but if I'm the enemy, I know I'm watching. I'm sweating because I know something's about to happen. They didn't do the usual. They did something different this time right here on day seven. Only on that day, they went around the city seven times. And it came to be at the seventh time when the priest blew the shofar that Yahushua said to the people, shout, for Yah has given you the city. Shout in the city, and the city shall be under the ban, and in all that that is in it belongs to who? Don't say belong to Joshua. Don't belong to the Israelites. Who belongs to Yah? Only Rahab the whore is to live. Listen, I don't care where you, how far you think you're going. You're not out of his reach. You're not out of Yah's reach. Notice who he used. Let's be honest. Would we have used that woman? No, we don't. Not a whore. Are you serious? We're not using that. But Yah don't care. You humble yourself. You humble yourself and repent. And he used her mightily. Said the whore is to live. She, not only her, she and all who are with her in the house. What he told them when them spies came, before they left, he said, you pack this house with every loved one you can pack. Because when we come to destroy this place, you'll be saved. You and all that's in your house. Listen, you tell your family, you tell your loved ones, listen, y'all coming. We're going to pack this house because he's going to save my house. Because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, guard yourselves from that which is under the ban, lest you come under the ban when you take of that which is under the ban and make the camp of Israel a curse and shall trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are set apart to Yah. They go into the treasury of Yah. You know, we have sticky fingers. We want to put a little bit in the pocket. Yah don't need all that. He's Yah. What do he need all that? I'm struggling over here. Where it says it goes, they go into the treasury of Yah. Everything belongs to him. When you give him everything you own, that's what he's saying. I want everything you own. The house you live in, the car you drive, the boat you drive, the vehicles, all that. Give it to me. Belongs to me and watch me work. I'll bless you like you'd never believe. Verse 20. And the people shouted, them human shofars. When the priest blew the shofar, and it came to be when the people heard the voice of the shofar and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. And the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the whole city. Listen, again, you have to think that wall was huge. It was massive. It was not just no little bitty wall. It wasn't made with no 4x4s. It was big, and that thing fell flat. Not even drawing a sword. Think about that. It wasn't no fighting. He said, if you do it this way, you do it my way, all you're going to have to do is shout. Us, we want to fight. We want to fight. We want to show everybody how man we are. And women, some women, rulers. Women too. Women, they want to throw down with you, some of them. You got to watch them. But what Yah says, shh, just do it my way. Do it my way. Verse 21, And they put under the ban all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and oxen, sheep, and donkey, and the edge of the sword, with the edge of the sword. And to the two men who had spied out the land of Yahushua said, go into the house of the woman, the whore, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men and the spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father, her mother, her brothers, and all she had. So they brought out all her relatives. She must have went and told everybody, cousins, aunts, uncles, y'all come here, come in this house. I don't care if we got to stand up shoulder to shoulder. We're about to be saved. And set them outside the camp of Israel, and they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and the gold and the vessel of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of Yah. However, Joshua kept alive Rahab the whore and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in the midst of Israel to this day because she hid the messengers from Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Yahushua warned them at the time, saying, curse is the man before Yah who raises up and builds this city, Jericho. He lays its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he sets up its gates. And Yah was with Yahushua, and report about him was in all the land. Listen, word will get out when you're a man of Yah. Word will get out. Yom Teruah is significant of many things. One, the day of the return of our Messiah, Yeshua, as Messiah ben David, and the resurrection of those in Messiah who are sleeping in the ground and those that remain as the bride of Messiah. Number two, the call to assemble, the elect unto the day of redemption, Yom Kippur or Day of Atonement, when the elect are judged according to the works and the atoning blood of the Messiah is applied and the elect are sealed with immortality, is put on life everlasting. He sealed us. We're going to be sealed on that day. With what? With the blood of Messiah. No more bulls and goats. None of them sacrifices. His blood. Number three, the warning blast is sounded and the enemies of Yah are scattered in fear. Why? Because the king, Melech, of righteousness has come to punish the wicked nations that have forsaken him, his Torah, laws and instructions, and persecuted his people. Hallelujah. Here is another portion of prophecy related to the beginning of the day of the Lord when our Messiah returns. Note the usage of a trumpet was a wake-up call and sounding of alarm for his people for repentance. Joel 2, 1 through 17. Blow a shofar in Zion and sound an alarm in my set-apart mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of Yah is coming, for it is near. It's near. That's why we rehearse, and he's telling us it's near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. People many and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor shall there be again after them to the years of many generations. Ahead of them a fire has consumed, and behind them a flame burns. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, and behind them a desert waste, and from them there is no escape. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and they run like steeds. As the noise of chariots, they leap over mountaintops, as the noise of flaming fire consuming stubble, as a mighty people set in battle array. Before them peoples are in anguish, all faces become flush. They run like mighty men, they climb the wall like men of battle. Everyone goes on his way, and they do not break ranks. And they do not press one another. Everyone goes in his path. They fall among the weapons, but they do not stop. They rush on the city, they run on the wall, they climb into the houses, they enter at the windows like a thief. The earth shall tremble before them, the heavens shall shake. Sun and moon shall be darkened, and the stars withdraw their brightness. and Yah shall go forth with his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for mighty is the doer of his words. Listen, I see mighty people sitting in these seats tonight. Mighty. You got to think that. We're mighty. For the day of Yah is great and very awesome. And who does bear it? Yet even now, declares Yah, turn to me with what? All your heart. Not some of your heart. Turn to me with all of it. And with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Tear your heart, not your garments, and turn back to Yah your Elohim, for he shows favor and is compassionate, patient, and of great loving commitment, and he shall relent concerning the evil. Listen, tear your heart, not your garments. To rend the garments is easy, but a broken and contrite heart can be imparted only by the grace of the set-apart spirit. The love of Elohim should bring us to repentance. He takes no pleasure in our miseries. And notice, he gets all the blame all the time. He gets all the blame. It's never that old Satan. If somebody's going through something or getting what we think they should get or whatnot, it's always, oh man, why Yah is punishing them? No, what he says, I don't take no pleasure or miseries. Takes no pleasure in miseries of people going through stuff. He don't want to see nobody hurting. He says, in our miseries, and if men repent and turn from their sin, they find an immediate, it's immediate, there's no pause, and loving welcome to Yah's heart and home. Hallelujah. You think he loves us? He loves us when we don't love ourselves. He loves us when we don't love ourselves. Verse 14, who knows? He might turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him. And leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for Yah your Elohim. Blow a shofar in Zion. Set apart a fast. Call an assembly. Gather the people, set the assembly apart. Assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babes. Let a bridegroom come out from his room and a bride from her dressing room. Let the priests, servants of Yah, weep between the porch and the slaughter place. And let them say, spare your people. That's my prayer. I want this to be my prayer for us. Spare your people, O Yah. And do not give your inheritance to reproach, for the nations to rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their Elohim? Where is their Elohim? Joel had called for the trumpet to announce war. He now directs the trumpet's blast to summon the people, from the highest to the lowest, to plead for help. Prayer, true repentance, obedience, and faith bring an immediate answer. Hallelujah. Prayer and true repentance. Obedience. And that's true repentance is not just saying I'm sorry and don't obey. That's not true repentance. Obedience is true repentance. And faith brings an immediate answer. The Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. I hope y'all enjoyed this as much as I did, because I enjoyed this so much. He just, during the feast days, he shows his unconditional love to us. Throughout his feast days, he shows it. And I'm just so thankful and so grateful that he opened our minds to the scriptures. What an honor. What an honor that he did that for us. So thankful that he didn't come, that he graced us all this time, and he decided not to come back yet, and we're getting it right. Are we perfect in it? No. That's why we keep working at this. We get better and better and better and better. Amen. He's so good to us. So let's stand. I told y'all we're going to shout, and we're going to shout. You think. put something on your mind, put something on your heart. You got some, I know everybody's got somebody they need that they can shout for. Somebody that's lost. Somebody that's undone. Somebody that needs him. Somebody that needs a healing. You might need a healing. What, physically, mentally, whatever it is, put it on your mind and you be that shofar. I'm talking about you shout it. Y'all shout and get ready and watch him do his word. Said he'll do it. He said, don't draw a sword. Don't do, he said, just shout. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Amen.